Please turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to get there in a moment. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to get there in a moment. One of the things that I thought about after talking about burning your bridges is that one of the reasons that so few of us in the body of Christ have burned our bridges is because we don't truly know what the Word of God says about who we are and what we mean to Him. And so, as I thought about that, I found a word that was delivered here last April 2023 that I want to share with you. And the title that Pastor gave it, God's Word Has the Answers. In my word, you will find the answer or the way to find the answer to every situation you face in life. There is nothing you will ever face that you cannot find the answer for in my word. I have given you my word to help you. My word is guidance for your life. Far too many of my children are walking aimlessly in life, doing their best to come up with the right answers, the right decisions, the right ideas, but they are doing it on their own. My word is your answer. Too many of my children dismiss my word. Too many of my children dismiss my word. They don't take it seriously. They don't get into my word and realize that they are feeding their spirit with my life. I say to you, there are those even in this room who have many questions. You feel confused at times. You wonder, God, what am I supposed to do? What do you want me to do? And yet, you are not spending enough time in my word to receive the answer that you need. The more you get into my word, is the more that you are conditioning your spirit to receive the direction from me that you need. My word is a written version of my life. My word is a written version of my life. Okay? In my word, you will find the answers to everything you need. If you will get into my word and read it and read it and read it and sow it into your heart, the day will come. You will be reading a passage, and all of a sudden, you will see the answer in what you are reading. My word is a treasure chest of my will. I think it's important that, because I highlighted three things in this word. And the first one I highlighted was, too many of my children dismiss my word. And then the second thing I highlighted, my word is a written version of my life. If you are dismissing God's word, you are dismissing God. And then the third thing, my word is a treasure chest of my will. If you are dismissing God, if you are dismissing the word, you are dismissing God, and you are dismissing the treasure He has laid up for you in His word that is available. Please understand, my word, I'm going to go back and read that. My word is a treasure chest of my will. Please understand me. There is no reason for a child of mine to be living in any form of confusion. My word will supply to you what you need. In my word, I have given the revelation of what is necessary to receive answers and how to apply them to your life. I have given you my word to help you make it through this life. And know this. The Holy Spirit will always move within the structure of my word. He will always speak within the structure of my word. And I thought about that as, remember we talked about Hebrews chapter 11 verses 1 and 2. about faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If God's word is a treasure of his will, and if God's word is a written version of his life, man, what do we have available to us? What do we have available to us? Now, here is some instruction. So I encourage you, get into my word, read it, and read it, and read it. When you open it, declare unto me, Father, I open my heart and my mind to receive from your word what you want me to receive. That is an instruction, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to read that again. When you open it, declare unto me, Father, I open my heart and my mind to receive from your word what you want me to receive. Read it. Listen to it, for it is a guide for your life. If you will do this, so many of the questions that you have had will be answered. Many of my children wonder why I seem to be so silent, and yet my word is always speaking. And what is his word, ladies and gentlemen? His word is a written version of his life. His word is a treasure chest of his will. It is always speaking. So get into my word, receive it, and receive the answers that you are seeking. I will minister to you and lead you into the fullness of all I desire for your life. But you must get into my word. My word contains the victories that you need to see manifested in your life. Walk in my word, and you will walk in my will, and you will walk in victory, says the Lord. This prophecy is a great lead-in to what I want to share with you tonight. And I'm going to give you the title that I have given this message. It's called A More Sure Word. A More Sure Word. And that's why we're going to begin in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, for the most part, it addresses a lot of false teachings that have crept into the church. And so we're going to begin, and we're going to begin with verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How is grace and peace multiplied to us? Through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, how? Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Do you see this? In verses 2 and 3, we see the phrase, through the knowledge. The acquisition of knowledge is an important theme in 2 Peter. The acquisition of knowledge is an important theme in 2 Peter. In fact, there is referred to in 11 different ways in this one epistle alone. Knowledge, it means a thorough participation in the acquiring of knowledge on the part of the learner. It's a thorough participation on the part of the learner. On the part of the learner. In other words, you cannot just sit there and think that you are going to gain knowledge, ladies and gentlemen. You just can't do it. You can't do it. You can't just pray in tongues and think you're going to receive all the knowledge that you need. The book is here for a reason. The book is here for a reason. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the verse you all know. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It shows the relationship of the learner to the object of knowledge. And the object of knowledge is verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's that phrase one more time. Now let's pick the record up in verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it is meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And you know he's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Let's go back up to verse 20. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came out in old time by the will of man, not by the will of man, in old time by the will of God. Slow down, Barry. Breathe. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. An example of this is Jeremiah chapter 1. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1 says, and the word of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came. Okay, to whom the word of the Lord came. Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me. Verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me. Verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me. And then verse 13. And the word of the Lord came unto me. That is what Peter is talking about. How these men did not receive the prophecy by making it up, by deciding this sounds good, God probably said that. No, they heard from the Holy Spirit. And when I thought about that, I thought about, you know, Pastor and Jamie and other ministers or anyone else who delivers a true word from the Lord, they are being moved by the Holy Spirit. They are speaking what they hear, just like Jeremiah. The word of the Lord is coming to them in the same way. If it's a true word from the Lord, it's coming the same way that it came to Jeremiah. Now, let's look at verse 19. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. A more sure word of prophecy. Peter says, I was on the Mount of Transfiguration. I heard what was said there. I saw what was seen there. But I am presenting to you a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, what I am giving to you is not secondhand. It is coming from the throne room of grace. The word sure, it means fixed, sure, certain. Figuratively, that upon which one may build, rely, or trust, that which does not fail or waver, immovable. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Why? Because it is fixed in heaven, It is sure, it is certain, it is built upon in heaven. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We have a sure word of prophecy, ladies and gentlemen. This book is a sure word of prophecy. Now, why is all of this important? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? What the serpent did was put a question in Eve's mind about the sure word. About the sure word. Satan wants the Bible to be a book of question marks for us. If we see question marks, we will not see the truth of how free we really are from his influences, his deception, and his lies. We cannot live the truth if we're not seeing the truth. You can't live what you don't see. You can't live what you don't know. The truth is in here. The truth is in here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 again. It says, knowing this first. No, that's verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 19 says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Now, the question I asked myself when I read that is, why is the Bible a more sure word? Why is the Bible a more sure word? Turn with me to Psalm 138. Why is it the Bible a book that one may build upon, rely, trust, that which does not fail or waver or is immovable? Why is the Bible a sure word? In Psalm 138, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2 when I get there. Okay. Verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Why is David going to do this? For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. What did the Lord say in the prophecy? He said that my word is a written version of my life. He said my word is a treasure chest of my will. He says here in Psalm chapter 138, verse 2, for thou hast magnified thy word, this is David, above thy name. God has elevated his word. His word is equal to him, ladies and gentlemen. His word is equal to him. That's why we have a more sure word. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. A passage we read from time to time about God and how he operates. Look at verse 8. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. This entire big book has gone forth out of God's mouth. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, when you believe what God just said about his word, when he speaks his word and when it accomplishes what he speaks, we just read that, right? Look at the result in verse 12, ladies and gentlemen. For you, Lee, for you, Sister LaFay, for you, Sylvia, shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. I don't know about you guys, but I can never have enough joy and peace in my life. But when you believe that what God says is going to accomplish what he says it's going to accomplish, you're going to go out with joy. You're going to be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you, singing, and all the trees of the field shall also clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that it shall not be cut off. When you believe what the Bible says, what God says about himself, you are going to go forth with joy. You're going to go forth with peace. Because it is a sure word. Psalm 118. Why is the Bible a more sure word? Psalm 18, look at verse 30. It says, as for God, his way is what? Perfect. Perfect. His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. It has been proven. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him and in his word. That's why the Bible is a more sure word. That word perfect, it means complete, whole, entire, sound, without blemish, without spot, undefiled, upright. That's this book, ladies and gentlemen. That's this book. And see, remember earlier I said Satan wants us to see questions in this book? When we see questions in this book, we will not see this book as being complete. We will not see this book as being whole, entire, sound, without blemish, without spot. We won't see it as undefiled or upright because we have questions and we don't think the book is answering our questions. But God says, as the rain cometh down from heaven and waters the earth, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Okay? Psalm 33. In Psalm 33, we're looking at why is the Bible a more sure word. Psalm 33, look at verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right. Drop the mic. Just drop the mic. The word of the Lord is right. The word of the Lord is right. And his works are done in truth. The word of the Lord is right. You don't have to agree with him, but you will be wrong because the word of the Lord is right. Okay? One last passage looking at why the Bible is a more sure word, Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, I encourage you to take the time to read through it. Every single verse talks about God's word. Every single verse. Look at verse 89. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. That's why it's a more sure word. It is settled in heaven. There is no questions about God's word in heaven. There should be none about God's word for us. Look at verse 140. It says, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loves it. Thy word is pure, therefore, thy servant loves it. And one more, Look at verse 160. It says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." That is why this is a more sure word, ladies and gentlemen. Let's look at some good stuff now. "But Brother Barry, that was pretty good." Yeah, but see, now I'm going to talk about you. Okay? Now I'm going to talk about you. What does the more sure word say about us? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. "And you who were dead in trespasses and sin." You see where it says, "He hath quickened"? Hath he quickened? That's in italics. So it was added. So, "And you who were dead in trespasses and sin." Ladies and gentlemen, you are no longer dead in trespasses and sins. Okay? "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That was your old life. You don't live there anymore. Okay? Verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past." In times past. "In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Ladies and gentlemen, you are no longer a child of wrath. You no longer have the sin nature. You have God's life and nature living in you. What we have been reading is what you used to be. And see, when you were like that, you did not have access to God. You did not have access to heaven when you were like that. It gets better. Verse 4. "But," in contrast to everything we just read, "but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins," what has he done, ladies and gentlemen? "Has quickened us together with Christ." He has made us alive together with Christ. If we have been made alive together with Christ, that means that when what we read about Jesus in the gospel, we are literally reading about ourselves if we believe what we read. If we believe what we read. "Even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Jesus. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We are seated next to Jesus in heaven. Wrap your mind around that, ladies and gentlemen. Wrap your mind around that. We are seated in the heavenlies. So everything that happens down here, we have access to heavenly knowledge that can deal with it. We have access to that. We are seated in the heavenlies, ladies and gentlemen. But Brother Barry, we're right here on earth, walking around. It rained outside early and some of us got wet. I get it. I get that. But see, as long as we live our lives based on what we see and not based on who we are never going to live up to who God has called us to be. He has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. "Then the age to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved," verse 8, "through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God," verse 9, "not of works, lest any man should boast," verse 10. I did this this morning. I'm going to have to do this again. I need to rewind. I need to read verse 6. Verse 6 says, and has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When I read that verse, I thought about what happened to us in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, which say, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power, from the authority of darkness. Satan no longer has authority over us, ladies and gentlemen. None. None. The only authority he can ever have over us is the authority we give him. That's the only time he can ever have authority over us. Why? We are seated in the heavenlies. He ain't there. He ain't there. He will never be there. And we are already there. Think about who you are. Seated in the heavenlies. Next to Jesus. Next to your Father. That is who you are. Don't let anyone tell you you're less than that. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power. And that word power is exousia, which really means authority of darkness, and has translated us from his kingdom into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been taken from Satan's kingdom, literally pulled out of it, and dropped off into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's where you live. That's where you live. But you know what? We lived here in Satan's kingdom so long that there are still parts of our minds that are still agreeing with his kingdom. That's why the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, renew your mind to who you, Barry's addition, to who you are and not to who you used to be. When your mind wants to take you down a road of your past life, tell it, stop that. Talk to it. Stop that. I don't live there no more. I ain't going back. Yeah, I know my language is not proper, but heck, I ain't going back. Okay? I ain't going back. Verse 10 is what I want you to see. Talking about you. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship. That word workmanship, it means we are his masterpiece. Say it with me. I am God's masterpiece. I am God's masterpiece. In Genesis chapter 2, and in verse 7, it says, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Of all his creation, ladies and gentlemen, of all of his creation, we are the only one God touched. Think about that. Think about that. Everything else was called into being. God said. In Genesis chapter 2, God touched. He formed man of the dust of the ground. And not only did he form man of the dust of the ground, figuratively, he breathed into man the breath of life. You are God's masterpiece. You are who God has always wanted. Once God had you, he said, that's it. You were his last creative act, ladies and gentlemen. I know what happened in Genesis chapter 3, but you understand what I'm saying about when God created man who was just like him, except he was not deity. You. And you have the audacity to think that you are something less than what God, the creator of heaven and earth, has designed you to be. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of lost people out there who need you to be who you are. To be who you are. For we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. Michelle, you are God's masterpiece. Tabitha, you are God's masterpiece. Donna, Sister LaFay, Lee, Scotty, Sister Judy, Carl, Stephen. You are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. Created in Christ Jesus. You know why you are God's masterpiece? You were created to do good works. Good works. And you know what is the best good work you can do? Is teach someone the gospel of Jesus. You don't have to, the good work doesn't have to be a healing, a miraculous something. A good work is simply telling someone about Jesus and showing them that there is going to be a life after this one. Good works. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You are God's masterpiece. If you don't get anything else out of this message tonight, know that you are God's masterpiece. I'm trying to think of the painting that everybody, it's always called a masterpiece. Somebody help me. What is it? The Mona Lisa. Yes, the Mona Lisa. When someone says Mona Lisa, you know that they're talking about a masterpiece. Ladies and gentlemen. When someone says Michelle, Sylvia, Tabitha, Lee, Sister LaFay, Donna, Scotty, Sister Judy, Carl, Stephen, Sharon. I was coming for you. And Tim. When they hear your name in heaven, you know what they hear? Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa. That's what they hear. Because you are God's masterpiece. That's what they hear. Okay? And they hear Eric too. I don't want to leave you out, sweetie. Look in Colossians chapter 2, still talking about us. In chapter 2 of Colossians, look at verse 9. It says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead, in Jesus. Verse 10. Look at verse 10. And you are complete in him. You are complete in him. If the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in Jesus, and we are complete in him, ladies and gentlemen, don't underestimate who you are. Now, let's wrap it up and look at what are we to do with the more sure word. Jeremiah chapter 15. This is one of my favorite verses in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15. Look at verse 16. Jeremiah says, thy word was found, thy words were found, and I did eat them. and thy word was the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Thy word was found, and I did eat them, and thy word was the joy and the joy and rejoicing of my heart. That is what we are to do with his word. We are to devour it, ladies and gentlemen. Devour it. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 26. In Jeremiah chapter 26, it says, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. It says, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. Diminish not a word. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, whatever the Bible says is what the Bible says. And that is how we are to treat the more sure word. We may not like it sometimes, but you know what? I know this is going to shock you, so just be prepared. God didn't ask your opinion. He just gave you the word. He didn't ask you if you liked it, if you're going to like it. He said, this is what it is. This is my word, going back to the prophecy. This is a treasure chest of my will. This is a written version of my life. Okay? Look in Psalm 107. In Psalm 107, look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them. And not only did he send his word and healed us, ladies and gentlemen, he delivered us from all our destruction. That is what we are to believe about his word. He sent it to heal us and to deliver us from all our destruction. Psalm 119. We're getting close. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to my word. You want to cleanse your way? You want to stop living in your old life? Let your mind try to bring you back to your old life? Fill it with the truth that is found in your new life. By taking heed thereof, thereto according to thy word. Psalm, look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That is an active job. You have to do that on purpose. You have to do that on purpose. The word hide, the word hid, it means to hide, treasure or store up. And then 119, look at verse 16. Remember I talked about how the word is talked about in every single verse? Look at verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. We're talking about what we are to do with the more sure word. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word has quickened me. Thy word has given me life. Thy word has renewed me. Look at 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. You know these verses, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just reminding you of what the Bible says. 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I rejoice as one who findeth great spoil. And then 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, For all thy commandments are righteousness. All thy commandments are righteousness. And why, ladies and gentlemen, are all his commandments righteousness? My word is a written version of my life. My word is a treasure chest of my will. That's why all thy commandments are righteousness. And we're going to close with Matthew chapter 4. And guess what verse we're going to read? Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Let's start verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Do you notice what he did with Jesus? He raised the question. Just like he did with Eve back in Genesis chapter 3. He raised the question about who you are. Did God really say you couldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good? Did God really say that? And then here, he says, you know what? If you are really the Son of God, you can eat what you want. You can eat what you want. You can turn these stones to bread. He could have. But you know what? Jesus said, it is written. In other words, it's not about what I can do. It's about what my Father has instructed me to do. And that's always going to be one of the questions that you can ask yourself. You can do it, or you can allow God to show you or tell you how to do it. Okay? And it goes back again to this prophecy. Too many of my children dismiss my word. They don't allow God to tell them how to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, our Father has given us his word, and what is written in his book is a more sure word. A word that on the lips of believers will produce the promises in our lives that he said they would produce. But we must believe this as much as he does. We must believe this as much as he does. We can't have any doubts or any questions about the truthfulness of what our Father has said and what our Father has given to us. We can't have any doubts whatsoever. Too many of my children dismiss my word. They don't take it seriously. My word is a written version of my life. My word is a treasure chest of my will. When it comes to faith, it's always going to be, how much word do you have living in you? Not how much word you know. That's a totally different thing. How much word do you have living in you? That is what will have an impact on your faith. How much word you have living in you. So I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, get into the word as much as you possibly can. Make it alive in you. Make it alive in you. When you read the Gospels and you see Jesus doing something, you put your name there. Put your name there. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, then says, all that came to him, he healed all that came to him. Put your name in there. Michelle healed all that came to him. Stephen healed all that came to him. Barry healed all that came to him. That is what the Word of God says, ladies and gentlemen. So I hope that tonight you have gotten a little more glimpse of who you are and what you are capable of doing.